Listen, we are equal to any task because our strength is not from ourselves. Our strength comes from the Lord. Do you realize that we have what no other religion on earth can even come close to offering? Power within.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone. It's great to have you tuning in as we begin a new week of Bible study. On today's program, Pastor Bill continues his study in the Epistle of 2 Corinthians. Pastor has entitled this next message, The Treasure Within. Now here's Pastor.
Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter 4 this morning. You know, 2 Corinthians is a great, great study, loved one. Again, you've heard me say it every time I stand up here and teach. It's one of my favorite epistles because it declares to us the heart of Paul more than any other epistle that he has written. And you know, the church at Corinth, if we went back to 1 Corinthians, we'd realize how messed up this church really was. I mean, it's a young church. It's perhaps 4 years, 5 years old, but they're suing one another. They're abusing the gifts of the Spirit. They're getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, and they are horribly divided. And so Paul loves this church, and this church just keeps breaking his heart over and over and over and over. So in 2 Corinthians, we see the tender, loving heart of Paul more than any of the other epistles and so forth. Again, it's written for that sad purpose because Paul, the apostle that Jesus saved on the road to Damascus, he has to defend his ministry, his character, his apostolic authority because of the wickedness of the false teachers that have now invaded the church there at Corinth. And if you have by now, if you're starting to say to yourself, well, it seems that 2 Corinthians is really like a biography. It's just all about Paul. Well, you are correct on one count, but it's really about Jesus in Paul. Amen? And that's the story here that we have. And it's all about, or much of it is about, his suffering. Paul the apostle even opened up this epistle. Remember in the first chapter, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort and mercies, who comforts us in all of our tribulation so we can comfort those who are going through it as well. So we look here and see, as we begin this morning again, the heavy price that Paul paid for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did pay a heavy price. But everything he did for the Lord was a joy, wasn't it? Man, listen, if any man loved Jesus, it was Paul the Apostle. We could ask a question this morning as we look at these 18 verses. You know, why didn't Paul quit? Think about it for a moment. If you go through and study out all the things that Paul suffered and went through, you know, and you say, dear Lord, that's unbelievable. And yes, it is, but it happened to him. I mean, why didn't he finally just say, I'm through, I can't take anymore? He did do that once, didn't he? Remember in Acts chapter 18, before he founded the church at Corinth, remember what he did? He had been beaten so badly. I mean, he was left for dead, stoned, and he just wasn't preaching. And Jesus himself, the resurrected, risen Lord, appeared to Paul in a vision and said, Paul, listen. Stood right beside him, Paul, don't be afraid. Don't fear. No one in this city will hurt you. You teach my word, for I have many in this city. See, Paul was discouraged. He was losing heart. He was tired of being beaten to pieces. Amen? Wouldn't you be? Absolutely. And it says that he continued there a year and a half, and many were saved. And of course, that's how this church was founded, by Paul's obedience to the Lord. So he didn't faint. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. He just kept going on and on and on. And we're going to find out the answers for why Paul didn't quit and why we can't quit in these 18 verses. So as we look at chapter 4 this morning, we're going to talk about the treasure within. Say that with me. The treasure within, meaning the treasure within you, beginning in chapter 4, verse 1, which is a continuation, actually, from chapter 3 that we've already covered. So Paul says, therefore, since we have this ministry, or this kind of ministry, as we have received, what's that word? Mercy, We do not quit. We do not faint, as the King James Bible says. We do not lose heart. We don't stop. We just keep on going. The same word that Jesus used in Luke 18:1 when he said that men ought always to pray and not faint, not give up, never become discouraged. That's what the devil wants you to do, isn't it? Yes. So Paul says, oh, the ministry that we have. And that ministry we've already covered in chapter 3. Remember the ministry that gives everlasting life, the good news of the gospel, man? And it's a received ministry. It didn't originate with Paul. It didn't originate with any man. It originates from God from heaven and given unto man. Amen? That's the good news. We have the good news. Paul had that good news. But can you imagine a ministry like we have and Paul had? A ministry that can grant, when believed upon, the good news, grant unto man his greatest need, and that is to be in right standing with God. When a person believes in their heart, man, God justifies that individual and imputes into his account, not imparts, but imputes that perfect, spotless, sinless record, the righteousness of Christ Jesus. What a glorious thing to know. And not only that, as we studied from last week, Paul says this ministry here that we have, it also is a ministry that gives liberty or freedom, freedom from the veil. The veil has been torn off of our hearts, as I said last Sunday. And so we're the type of people that when believed the gospel, we are now transformed into the image of Christ from glory to glory, glory by the Holy Spirit that is working in our hearts. Question, do we have this ministry? Of course we do. Amen? Yes, we have been saved to serve. We haven't been saved to just, well, I'm going to warm my pew. You know what I mean? No, we're saved to serve, loved one. You know, Ephesians 2:10, God, before the world was ever made, he's created us, what, in Christ Jesus, for good works. We have so much that God wants us to be doing. Not only that, as we learned last Sunday, we are epistles of Christ. Think about that. We are Jesus' love letter to the world, the aroma or the fragrance of Christ himself. Thank God for that. Listen, there is no greater task given today or then, no greater honor than to share the good news of Jesus Christ to those that are hurting. I mean, think about the treasure that you have that you can impart to other people, telling them about the Lord. For God so loved the world, he gave, amen, his only begotten Son. Oh, how good God is. But you know, any church or every church and every believer, it's really determined by how you treat your ministry. I mean, is it a privilege to you? Or is it like, gosh, it's just a drudge? Oh, loved one, it should never be that. Amen? So Paul says this. He says, but we've renounced the hidden things of shame. Now, he's talking to the Corinthians, and he's defending his ministry because of the false teachers. And he says, listen, we don't walk in craftiness. We don't walk in hidden things. We've renounced all that. He says, you know, we don't twist God's word or the handling of the word of God deceitfully. That means to handle it falsely, to twist the word of God and make it say something it doesn't mean. But by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So we learned about all that really last Sunday, you know, when he was talking about that we don't peddle the word of God. Those are the peddlers. You know, they come to you and they have letters from whatever church or whoever it is, and they peddle the word of God. They water the word of God down. They're experts in greed because their hearts are trained in covetousness, if you will. And not only that, they're merchandisers. They're not ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, boys, listen, I don't twist God's word. And I can say, I don't twist God's word. Amen. What a glorious thing. Say, this is the way it is. If you don't like it, take it up with God. I don't have to twist God's word. Why would anyone want to do that? You know, those false teachers then and now, they certainly twist God's word. You know, it says in 2 Peter 2:3, it says, by covetousness, they make merchandise out of you with deceptive words. Merchandise out of you with deceptive words. In the Greek, the word is plastos. We get our English word plastic. In other words, false teachers take words, beautiful words, Jesus, Holy Spirit, salvation, grace, propitiation, justification, giving, or whatever it might be. They take beautiful words like that. They speak the right kind of language, but they use the wrong dictionary. And they define it and they twist it. Twist it to mean this. Twist it to mean this. You'll never have a bad day. You'll never be sick. You're going to be whatever it might be. You know, that, you know what I call those? I call those longhorn sermons. You know, two points and a lot of bull in the middle. You know what I'm saying? That's what those are. No, loved one, listen, you know, we don't do that, and Paul didn't do that. But then we say, look what he says. But even if our gospel is hidden or if it's veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Those who are lost, dead in trespasses and sins, and they don't know they're dead in trespasses and sins. They don't even know that they're perishing. They work hard, they pay their taxes and whatever, they love their families, but they're lost. They're lost, and they don't know it. You know, why don't more people respond to the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ? I mean, we have radio, we have TV, we have churches on every corner. We have one right across the street, one right over. Well, I don't know about that one, but I don't mean it like that. I don't know anything about it. No, listen, you know, if the good news is hidden from someone, those that are perishing, is it hidden because of bad preaching? Is it hidden, the gospel, is it hidden because of good preaching? No, there's someone behind it. The Word of God is alive. It never returns void. It always does something to those who hear. Amen? Yes. No, we know that there's someone behind the scenes. We don't see him. We know he's here, his demonic powers or whatever, the powers of darkness. Look at verse 4. It says, here's the one who's behind it, whose minds, mean those that are perishing, their mental faculties, whose minds, the what? The God of this age, only used here in the New Testament, loved one. The God of this age has done something. He has blinded those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the good news, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, the image of God. Jesus said, remember in John 14, 9, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's the perfect imprint of God. He is God. He said, oh man, but they don't believe. If they did, oh, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, what would happen to them? It would shine on them. Those that are lost, they don't know it. They don't understand it. But those that are lost, it says those that are perishing, here's the deal. They hear the good word. They hear the good news. And then they reject the good news, and they believe it's by their own choice, their own intellect, their own personal decision. I don't need it. I'm not going to perish. Well, God said in his word, Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9, he says, for God is not willing that any should perish. Amen? God doesn't want people, the perishing, to perish. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He says, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus preached the truth because he is the truth. And he said in John 5:40, I believe it is, he said to the religious people, people that were, he was preaching to, he said, listen, you're not willing to come to me. God's not willing that any should perish. But you're not willing. You're not willing that you would come to me that you might have life. That's the condition of this world today, loved one. Nothing has changed. I want you to listen to me now. Listen, there are only two parties, if we could look at it this way. There is God, amen, and then there's the devil. There's not a third party. Either you are in Christ or you're not. If you're perishing, Satan is blinding your mind, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not. You know, Satan, you know, he is defeated, amen? Yes, Jesus defeated him. You made a show, a public show of him openly and so forth, you know, in the cross, the Bible teaches us. So we have Satan, who is the defeated God of this age, amen? But the world that's lost, they don't know he's defeated. Not only that, he's a defeated prince of this world, another name for the devil. And he's also the defeated father of all lies. He's defeated. And you know what he does? You know what it is. He comes, like it says in John 10:10, he comes to do three things. He comes to kill, he comes to destroy and to steal. Amen? Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The defeated wicked one. He is so good at what he does. He's so able to blind people. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5:19, we know, the believer, we know, we're certain, we know we're of God. We're new creations, amen? But the whole world, the world that is against God, that's organized against God, that Antichrist system, if you will, The whole world lies in the sway, the arms, the cradle of the wicked one as he just rocks them to sleep. And then Satan and whatever power he has. Isn't it amazing that he comes in and he can blind, mentally blind, those that are perishing, the lost, those that don't know Christ, their minds. He does so, of course, by lies, by deception. He loves to work through the Adamic flesh, the flesh of Adam, if you will. We're in Christ. We're not in Adam, thank God. And you know what? He causes an unbeliever, those that don't know Christ, good people, hardworking people again, to reject the greatest message ever heard on this planet, that they can be saved from hell, from sin, from death, from the devil. Amen? And heaven can be their home. And then I have seen it, loved one. Listen, even when they hear the good news, I've seen it. I can see in their countenance that God, the Holy Spirit, is working on them. And how I see that look in their eyes, there's a glimmer that says, I want this to be true. But yet the Holy Spirit is pounding on their heart, wooing them as they hear the salvation message. And guess what? Immediately the powers of darkness, they come in to what? Attack the unbeliever's mind. They hear it. You don't need, what is this? This nonsense. You need to get out of this place. You need to run out of this church as fast as you can. Better hold on to your wallet. That's all they want. He lies. You're a good man. What do you mean? You work hard. You don't need Jesus. You don't need some crutch in life. That's what the devil does. He lies to that person, and you know what happens? They don't receive the gospel. They've been blinded mentally. When you hear someone say, well, I don't know if I even believe in God anymore. If that comes from my counseling office, I have to look at them. I'm going to say, now, do you know what? Where you just got that from? You got that from the wicked one. He just blinded your mind. Amen? Oh, listen, you got to be so careful. See, fallen man, it is so easy for them to believe lies than it is for them to receive the truth because of what Satan has done. Now, look what Paul says in verse 5. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, the moment that you and I, the moment that we said, Jesus, come into my heart, be the Lord of my life, you know what happened? The darkness was displaced by the light. Amen? Just like on the day of creation, you know, there the darkness upon the face of the earth was that form and void. It was empty. It was nothing. And then God said, let there be light. Light was. Amen? And the darkness was displaced. When we ask Christ to come into our life, loved one, boy, that darkness is gone and the light of God, the revelation of God, the knowledge of God, it explodes literally in our heart. Why? Well, first of all, freedom from the veil. I talked about that last Sunday. But Christianity is supernatural. Amen? We're a supernatural people. We are a new creation in Christ. And here we get to our sermon. And guess what God did when we came to Him? We became God's living treasure containers. Look at this in verse 7. But we have, that's present tense, we possess it right now, Paul says. We have this what? This treasure. And look where it's located. Not in Washington, D.C. No. In earthen vessels, meaning in believers, in new creations, in human beings. Meaning that we have the good news, the gospel. We have Jesus living in us. We have the divine helper. We have the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that He's planted in us, all those supernatural gifts. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now look what he says. That the excellence of the power may be of whom? God, and not of us. Oh, what a treasure. I don't have to do anything in my strength anymore. Doesn't that sound good? Oh my gosh, it's all by grace. I've been saved, not by works, not lest anyone should boast. It is a gift of God. Amen? I say, oh God, I know now this treasure. That means I'm not the source of my resources, but my treasure is my resource. Does that make sense? That's what Paul is saying. If you look up that word treasure in your Greek lexicon or whatnot, it would say where precious things are kept or stored. Isn't that amazing? Here we are, a bunch of earthen vessels, a bunch of clay pots, or maybe crack pots. Is that better? And God put in this weak, frail body that is decaying, he said, I'm going to put all my treasure in you, in each and every believer that comes to me. God's treasure. Man, he put it right in that. He has entrusted his treasure to every believer, loved one. And I say, oh, God, you're so good. Christian, listen to me. Please see yourself the way your Father in heaven sees you. You know, you're not only just the aroma of Christ, the epistle of Christ. Come on, man, listen. You are God's treasure, the container that holds his treasure upon this planet. Oh, I thank that. See, we have been given the resources, number one, to live for the Lord. Amen. We have been given the resources. We are equipped for every good work. Amen. But more than that, we have the resources to change the world that we live in for Christ Jesus. We've been empowered to do that. How? We have this treasure within right this minute. Listen, whenever John and Peter, remember they were forbidden to teach the word of God there in the book of Acts? And the religious rulers came to them and said, man, you know, don't say another word, and so forth. And so all of a sudden, it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says that now when they saw, meaning the religious rulers, the ones who were supposed to be representing God and loving God, it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived about Peter and John that they were uneducated and untrained men. They're out there preaching. They didn't graduate under any rabbi. They didn't have any rabbinical skills, do you follow me, or education. And they perceived, those religious looked at them and they saw that boldness. They were uneducated. They were untrained. You know what the Bible says about the religious rulers? They marveled. And then they said, they realized that they had been with Jesus. I love the Lord. You know, do you understand that Jesus picked the most unlikely candidates on earth to fulfill his mission? Think about that. I mean, fishermen, they were educated. Of course, they were fishers of the sea. They knew the sea, the wind. They knew where the fish were, whatever, how to mend their nets. But they didn't have any training when it comes to rabbinical skills or anything like that. But you know what? Their boldness didn't come from any education, did it? No. That's a supernatural boldness. It came from the Spirit of the living God who is in them, in their treasure. Does that make sense? And I look, oh, Lord, you're so good. Isn't it funny that how God uses the most unlikely people? I mean, would you pick a fisherman? Would you even pick Peter? Come on. Andrew, James, how about the zealot, the tax collector? Huh? Would you pick people like that? Or would you go to, well, he's a priest, he's skilled, he's a professional clergy? No, Jesus didn't do that at all. He picked people and saved people. Oh, how about, you know, prostitutes? Hello? A woman that with the well, been married five times, was living with somebody. Do you understand what I'm getting at? All the things that Jesus did. And then what did he do? He put in them his treasure. He filled them with power. He filled them with his love. He filled them with his resources. And guess what they did with their treasure? They turned their world upside down. Amen? But you know, the religious rulers of that day, they were actually wrong in the recorded words I just spoke from Acts 4:13. It says, for they realized that they had been, past tense, with Jesus. That's not true. They were totally wrong because Jesus was still with them. Amen? And Jesus is with us right now. Amen? Yes. Listen, Hudson Taylor said this. He said, all God's giants have been weak men and women who did great things for God. Why? Because they reckoned on Jesus being with them. He's with you. He's going to leave with you. He's never going to leave you. He is never going to forsake you. Why didn't Paul lose heart? Why didn't he give up? Why didn't he quit? Because he didn't look what he was or who he was. He looked at what he had.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, but please don't miss tomorrow's program when Pastor Bill will conclude today's message. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in today. We appreciate you so much. Have a wonderful day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.